A-G-L-E-S-E-O!
It's time to take you inside Eagle football with the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Here's voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins, and Shadron State head coach, Jay Long.
It's Tuesday. That means head coach Jay Long of the Shadron State Eagles is with us in the studio to talk Shadron State football on the Jay Long Show and the podcast as well. Coach, welcome in. You got to take on UNK, an exciting day out in Kearney for the fans and the rivalry coming back. Let's look at the game a bit. You know, putting the outcome aside with the loss, was it still a good experience to bring back that rivalry game this year with UNK?
Dave, without a doubt, it's something we need to continue. And I think the rivalry even becomes cooler when we're in two different conferences. And after the end of the game, I was walking after I talked to you, and I ran right into Kearney's AD, who actually, when I was wrestling at Shadron, he was the assistant wrestling coach at UNO. So we knew each other, and I told him we need to figure out a way to make this game happen. And also Josh Lynn, their head football coach, talked to him beforehand, and I was like, we need to figure out a way to make this happen. And the thing that holds us back is the MIAA is a close conference and they don't open up. Hopefully, you know, some positives out of the COVID is that these teams, they have, I think, four MIAA teams that are playing, and they did decide to do the exact same thing as the RMAC and go schedule games and go find who you want to play and those type of things. And I hope out of this that they think it's pretty fun also to go out and play other non-conference games, and hopefully they can change that so we can maybe be able to make this happen.
Judging by the crowd that was there in Shadron State colors behind you in the stands and all the anticipation leading up to the game, I think a lot of fans would agree with you, Coach. They want this game to happen more often than once in a long time. Talk about the crowd you guys saw. You had a lot of support right behind you there on the bench.
Both sides was for a COVID year, I'd say that's about as good a crowd as you can have, and especially in Division II football. And if it wasn't COVID, it would be doubled. You just look at any of those old games, and both places travel well. Kearney travels us. We travel well to them. And I know that our fans really enjoyed it. It's something I wish I could just say, Dave, we're going to do this forever. But we got to wait and see what the MIAA does there. And if they do, I will be the first to call Kearney and try to make it happen.
The energy really was cool. And the excitement of that rivalry was a lot of fun to be a part of on Saturday. And Coach, let's dig into the game and what we saw happen on Saturday. I think one of the biggest questions going in certainly was how this CSE defense, a young defense, would defend the spread triple option in their all-conference quarterback. Had a chance now to look at the film and see things, how they unfolded a little more in detail the past couple of days. What's your assessment on the day of the CSE defense?
You know, when we talked on Monday with our team and our team meeting, we talked about, you know, experiences and how to make our team better. And one of the things that we saw on Saturday was we saw one of the top players in not only the game, but I mean in Division II. He's one of the top players in Division II, and he's a dynamic player. And when you look at our score breakdown, they got 21 points on us in the first quarter. Then after that, they got 10 in the second quarter, and then they had 7-7 in the last two. What the difference was is that we saw something that was new, and we didn't go and attack it. Instead, we tried to read and react to it. And when you're playing that type of offense, and that a special offense in Division II to add on to that, is that you can't wait and react. You have to go and attack. And after that first quarter, we then started playing Eagle football and at least containing him a little bit better. One of the top players in Division II. And when you look in the difference in the game, Dave, when we talked also on Monday, was that really we're gonna have games like Mesa where it's 10-7, and we're gonna have games like this where you have to score every possession and we have to work on getting stops and takeaways and those type of things. And and really, you know, the difference came in that first quarter. We needed to get one stop in the first quarter, and offensively we needed to get one more score somewhere. And if we do that, we're coming down to the very end. And it still came down to the very end, Dave. I mean, we end up getting a fumble at the end of the game when Dalton was trying to throw it. But if we score on that drive, and we were also scoring pretty much at will also at that time, and if we would have scored on that drive, then we would have been able to, you know, we've been kicking onside to see if we can get back in and finish that game. So it is definitely a learning experience, and it's something that, you know, we'll be able to use and make us better for next year.
Yeah, I think if football was a 5-quarter game, I think we may be looking at a different win and loss in the situation. You guys were certainly taking some more control in that second half, and looked like at just a little bit more time might have been able to overcome.
You know, Dave, I think when you watch the teams that run options, so the teams that run options, your Navy's, you know, your Air Force runs a version of it, your Army run a version of it, and the thing is that to mimic that speed and mimic that blocking and mimic the cut blocking, those type of things on it, in practice is really hard. And they jumped up on us right in that first quarter, and then from there on it was all about, you know, just getting back in the game. And I can tell you, and I said it on Saturday night, that, you know, that we at halftime went in and it was definitely a place where, you know, the game could have went either way, and our guys came back out and we played Eagle football, and, you know, we just said, you know, never had a fight until you decided to be. And our guys went out there, and I thought kept competing, and we had a chance at the end to get to win the game. So,
Coach, you mentioned how your guys were a little more attacking mindset as the game moved on the option, and early watching how they run it, and also just kind of learning about it as we watch how they do it. And when they get to the outside and they've got the quarterback and the running back, it almost seemed like they had been able to create like a 2-on-1 kind of matchup at times. Is that do defensive players, when they face an option this good, do they just tend to think too much about who to go after, or do you want to see another guy come up and fill that gap? How tough is it to defend what becomes like a 2-on-1, and then that's really, really tough?
And, you know, Dave, we've been talking about our defense every game, about how strong they've been up to this point. And our defense is built for we are basically spilling everything outside to our free runners. And our free runners is Maka, Travis Wilson, Jeremiah, Gutierrez, Noah Kirchhoff, and these are all guys, Cole Condon and Brandon Bramer. Those are all guys that we've been talking about having a lot of tackles. And what happened was, is our defense, we were spilling everything outside, and then they're bringing in an extra player because they have the running back blocking instead of the running back with the ball. And we weren't able to get to that free. Our free hitter wasn't able to get to him because he was getting picked up by it. So we had to make some adjustments. Coach Sassy came down on the sideline at halftime. I think that was probably one of the biggest adjustments that we did. And then, like I said, we slowed that game down, and offense was able to get back, you know, get us some scores when we needed them. And at the end, we had an opportunity where it was a 10-point game that we had an opportunity to go march in and score, and then we would have kicked it onside to see where the game would have went.
Yeah, it was really fun to see the chess match of the adjustments and things evolve during the course of this game. There was certainly a lot of it, as we visit with head coach Jay Long on the radio show and podcast every Tuesday. Coach, let's look at a key first half sequence. You guys get a big stop on fourth down on the 22-yard line. UNK looking to potentially make it a 28-7 game at that point, but you get the stop on fourth. Then on third down, just a few plays later on your own 26, Dalton throws a great pass right to Montel Gladney, and he did most of the work on a 74-yard touchdown. It's 21-14. That was a huge swing there.
Yes, and it was really nice to see Montel Gladney have a great day. He's been one of those guys we talked about early, and then we haven't talked about him much. And, you know, we've been seeing him do some real special teams and things in practice, so it was nice for him to have that. That was huge. He was the fastest guy on the field on that play. When you see him running, nobody can catch him, and that was really big for him. He also had some huge first down catches right on the sideline where he had to drag a foot, and I was really proud of him. Really, just, you know, the other wide receivers, I think, that stepped up. I think Ali Musa, he's a kid that we talked about early as a special talent, and he, you know, had a game where he's just getting better, and he's getting more comfortable with the scheme, and I'm proud of him. And then Chad had some huge first down catches, which is always, you know, that's, and Chad also had a huge touchdown catch when he was covered to get us into that game too. And then, you know, Cole Thornis, we just try to get him the ball in any way. I mean, he's such a dynamic player also. We either try to do it with our fly sweeps, we put him at quarterback, we've put him at at tailback, and, you know, we got him returning kicks, and, you know, we just got to continue to try to get the ball in those playmakers' hands. And
yeah, you guys really have a deep wide receiver core, even down a couple of guys, other others stepping up, like Montel filling in and taking over that day. Chad, old reliable on those big third down catches. It seems like he grabs everything. And I mean, that might have been NFL good, that back of the line touchdown catch he had at the end of the game. That was just incredible right there on the back of the baseline, the end zone line.
You know, and I think that the, when we talked about this season, like things that make us better, is that, you know, these young receivers are getting these valuable game reps, and they're getting them this year rather than next year, and it takes us five games to get them all on the same page, or four games to get them all on the same page. And so that's something I'm really happy about and glad to see. And, you know, when we talk about our first meetings, you know, I the words I used with Chad was, is that it's time. And Chad's a junior. It's time for him to step out of his shell, and he has this year. So I'm also excited about that.
Coach Long here on a Tuesday radio show podcast with us, and let's look at the second half comeback a little bit more. Coach, defense, we've talked about shoring up that option game much better. Guys getting in attacking, getting some tackles for loss and some big stops. You had two long drives as well of 10 and 8 plays that ended with Jalen Starks' touchdown runs. He's had a heck of a year for you. It was 38-28 early in the fourth quarter, despite how some of the stats might have skewed heavy to Kearney yardage-wise and things like that. You guys were right there in the football game at the end with a chance to pull out the win.
Yeah, you know, I think that Coach Asani did a great job managing the game, this especially for his first game calling plays. And he, you know, I thought he had a good job balancing the run and the pass, and also having us an opportunity to get into the game and at the end. When you look at, like, you know, positives on the offense, you know, Jalen Starks, he looked like, holy smokes, he looked good. Yeah. When we watched him on film, he even looked better. And also with that, why he did is our O-line was knocking Kearney's D-line back. And anytime we're getting a good push like that, we're going to have a good day running the ball. And I thought our O-line and our tight ends blocked really well, which then allowed Jalen Starks to have a really big day. Cox also was able to come in and be a dynamic player. And I think in Con Marshall's article, it was put best. You know, we have our 260-pound back that is does one thing to the defense, then we have our 160-pound back come in and do another, and they're really good, a really good combination right now. And both of them are really hot. They put together the last 2-3 games, and we're going to need them this last week.
Coach, the last true drive of the game for you, right around that 2-minute mark, just underneath it, you're driving the field. You seem to have a scare in Kearney a bit. Dalton's dropping back, looking to pass. Stepped up into the pocket. To me, it looked like he was throwing a pass and an incomplete pass. I haven't watched the replay on tape yet, but that was what I remember live. You've had a chance to go back and look at it. They rule it a fumble. Kearney gets it, and they're able to win the game. If you guys score a touchdown there, as you mentioned earlier, you get a chance for an onside kick, you get it, you might win the game. What'd you see on that last play with Dalton and the fumble that was ruled Kearney's favor?
You know, it's one of those that you wish that it was like Tom Brady when they had five different angles and you could be able to replay it a bunch of times. And the truth of the matter is it's Division II football and we don't have replay. So the officials called it a fumble, and it was close. I mean, if you're a Shattern fan, you say it wasn't. You say it was a forward throw. If you're a Kearney fan, you say it's a fumble. And that's what happens. And, you know, at the end of it, I wish we wouldn't have been in that. I wish we could have gotten it off. That was the only fumble of the whole game.
Kind of goes down as one of those CSC-UNK plays, you know, that happens during a game, a controversial call that has an impact on the outcome. It is fitting that it happened in this rivalry game, although we wish it didn't on the Shadron State side. Coach, let's move on to injuries, a physical game, rivalry game, guys getting banged up during the game. Fill us in on that. A couple didn't finish the game. Taven Bray and Jeremiah Makahununiu. Maka, well, your top middle linebacker. Those two come to mind in particular that didn't finish.
Yeah, also Jahani Wright didn't finish the game either. Basically, when we look this week, we've got also a few more bumps and bruises on our defense. No, people don't cut anymore, like cut block like that anymore, and us included. And anybody knows that me as an offensive line coach, I myself was would cut almost every other play on the offensive line, and most of my offensive lines have been huge cutting offensive lines. The difference is the rules have changed, and by the rules changing, I think it was in 2000. 16, we had 8 chop blocks, and so we had to change our blocking a little bit. Kearney has done a, with their option scheme, has figured out how to do it legally and be able to, you know, to cut almost on every play. So our guys are a little bit banged up there, but I think that on Saturday most of them should be healed up. We're hoping the same for Bray, Maka, and also Jahani.
All right, Coach, let's take a look at the Black Hills State game coming up. Kind of nervous leading into this game because Black Hills has had so much trouble with the COVID situation and a couple of games canceled. But good news so far as of today, it looks like they're planning on playing. They're promoting the game on their website. But what have you heard about the Black Hills COVID situation on this Tuesday with a handful of days before we actually kick off?
Well, Dave, I'm going to start off with a line that I've used a lot this year. It was another one of those situations that we've never, ever seen before. Black Hills State, we were supposed to, their last game that they were supposed to play was supposed to be us. That was 2 weeks ago. And so we as a coaching staff have broke everything down 2 weeks ago when we were going to play them, and we had our game plan, all that type of stuff. And then we went and played 2 more games, and they have not played any. It's just really unique. We don't know how much they practiced during that time. We don't know how much, you know, whether they've changed things during that time. All we know is what we have from the film that we had. Which would be 2 weeks ago. And with that being said, you know, we know there's probably some wrinkles, probably going to be some trick plays. You know, they've more than likely gotten our film on those last 2 games with things. So I'm assuming that we may see some more blitzing out of them or maybe some more line games out of them. Whatever it is, we got to make sure that our game plan is secured up and simplified enough where we can just go out and attack them.
How much does it change what you want to do in preparation this week? Because you've already prepared for Black Hills and they haven't played since then. I mean, is a lot of the work already kind of done?
Yes, Dave. The film's all broken down. Our practice plans are out. We've changed our practice plans because obviously we're at a different point of the year. It's like I said, it's something that we've not. There's with 21 years of experience, this is another one of those firsts that you deal with because of the COVID, and we just keep relying back to the hey, we're very fortunate we get to play, and we're fortunate that we have opportunities to get us better. And no matter what gets thrown at us, let's go next man up, and let's go take advantage of it and take advantage of getting our team better with every situation we possibly can. And Dave, we've talked about things you know, throughout the year, and one of the things that when the COVID stuff affects your team, it's about the next man getting those reps. And I can tell you that we've had numerous players be able to play that maybe would not have played if it wasn't a COVID year, and those guys have gained valuable reps to make us better in the future. We've had coaches in different situations that they would have never been in, where they were comfortable in their old position, they got put into another position and they rose to the occasion. And those are all valuable things that we're going to be able to use next year when we go into our conference play.
Yeah, you were down 4 coaches or something on Saturday, and you mentioned Briar DeSanti calling his first game as a quote-unquote offensive coordinator, yeah. Essentially, really stepping up. And do you know the offensive coordinator situation for this week coming forward? And the coaches, are you going to be short again anywhere? Are you going to have people back?
Yeah, right now, Wednesday is the day we test. But right now, it looks like you know, everybody's going to be coming off of our contact tracing, those type of things. Wednesday night's the day. On Wednesday night's the day that we get told what's happening. So,
well, we hope you got them back. But great job by the coaches filling in and taking on certainly a lot more than they ever expected as they make the best of the situation to help out the team. Coach Long with us here on a Tuesday. Coach, are there any specifics about BH you want to talk about before, or things you noticed that fans may see as you get ready to play these guys?
You know, I just think that, you know, I think it's their head football coach is Josh Bresky. He played for me at Black Hills State. He's you know, first year coach there. He also coached here as a graduate assistant for 1 season with us before he got his full time job. His wife taught in Gordon for the season that he was here, and you know, I think those are always cool little side notes with the story, with the, you know, with the game. So it should be a fun game. We're excited to go up there. I assume we'll have another good crowd like we went up to South Dakota School of Mines and like we did at Kearney, and once again Black Hills, another close game, so I assume we'll have a good crowd go to that too.
All right, we'll finish up with some scheduling notes, and we've used the phrase, too, audible ready all season long, Jay. And we saw over the weekend, Western Colorado has canceled their last two games. Colorado Mesa, apparently they're on pause with varsity athletics. Not a lot of detail on what that exactly means. They still have a game scheduled. But is there a chance, you know, that we add another game in on November 21st, or if Black Hills cancels, we look to then add a game because we'll miss this final one potentially, you know, MIAA teams are out there. Lone Star teams are out there. What do you make of the schedule as we go forward, or is this it?
You know, Dave, there's four MIAAs that are playing games. There's two Lone Star teams that are playing games. And then there's us four, I guess with Western playing their one game, there's us five RMAC teams that are playing games. And, you know, I can just tell you that right now where we're at with what we're doing with our championship dates and those type of things, when what I mean by that is our practices, how many practices we can have in a championship date, is that in the spring we still want to be able to use some of these championship dates. And so we're done. This will be our last game for this year. Yeah, we'll be done.
So we won't schedule South Dakota Mines a third time.
No, we won't not. Schedule them a third time. No.
All right. Well, Coach, it's going to be fun leading into this final game. Really hope that it all comes together to play, and that health is getting improved up at Spearfish to play this rivalry one. It's always fun to finish against Black Hills State. Your former school, of course, before you came down to Shadron. So a lot of fun tie-ins with you as well. Thanks for joining us on Tuesday, filling in the fans on Eagle football and talking about the Kearney game and looking ahead.
Thank you, Dave. I know I had lots of my buddies listen to your game last weekend, and you did a great job of of our effort out on the football field. So thank you, and go Eagles.
The Jay Long Show is presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Whether you're looking to replace one broken window, upgrade your entire home or business with a beautiful new look, or replace a cracked vehicle windshield, you'll find your perfect glass solution at Shadron Glass and Windows. Save money this winter on energy costs and upgrade to more energy-efficient windows and doors. Stop in and see Judd at 139 Main Street, or give Shadron Glass and Windows a call at 432-3268. That's 432-3268.